Hello, and welcome to the One Small Action podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Freeman. Thank you for joining me today. If this is your first time, I appreciate that you're here. If you're coming back for another episode, thank you for coming back. My hope of this show is to take things that I've seen personally and professionally and talk about how we can be personally accountable to this action. It is through action that we get better, and personal accountability is the way. The only thing we can control is what we can control. Everything else is out of our control. So if we can learn to focus on the actions that we can take to get better, we can improve. And that is really the goal in life, to improve just a little bit each day until we get to where we need to be. So thank you for joining me today, and I hope you find something in this podcast that is useful for you. What's up, everybody? Hey, I got another exciting share for you. This share today is with my client, Kevin. He's an amazing individual, as you'll hear throughout the podcast. He is a couples therapist here in Sonoma County, and we originally started working together through a mutual friend, and we started during the pandemic, so we were training each other. Oh, I was training him on Zoom 2 times a week for a half hour. So it was about almost a year before I actually ever trained him in person. It's been about 2.5 years, and I really just wanted to share his story and, you know, what he's learned in his training and, you know, how far we've come along, but also highlight his therapy in here in Sonoma County. So I hope you guys enjoy Kevin's story. I know a lot of people enjoyed the last story, so I want to bring a few more of those to the table. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? This is Matthew Freeman back with the One Small Action podcast. And today I got a very special guest that's going to be joining me. Kevin is one of my clients. So we've been working together now. How long?
Like 2 years.
2 years.
Like 2.5.
2.5.
It will be 3, I think, in November.
Dang.
I know.
I don't know if time flies with everyone, but I've definitely really enjoyed training Kevin, and as you know from the last story that I did, I'm trying to bring on some clients to just kind of share, you know, their story and their progression and what, you know, they've really enjoyed about training, what they've discovered, what they may not have discovered. And to be honest, I didn't even know it was that long. We actually were started on Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? In the pandy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like in the dead heart of it. And it was like, hey, look, I'm not leaving the house. And it's like, okay, let's Zoom it up.
Yeah.
And one of the things I liked about you from the very beginning is the energy you brought to training. What, when you first, am I the first trainer you've ever had? Or have you ever had any other trainers?
I mean, in my early 20s, I had like a trainer at a gym that I worked with a few sessions, only really like those, you know, introductory training sessions. Congrats, you joined a gym. I'd never like created a relationship with someone. And you know, I had no idea what to expect, when we started working together. It was just a good friend of mine who had done some training and was feeling a lot better in her body, you know, Melissa. And she was like, cause she was working out with your buddy Scott, and she was like, you know, I think you'd be a really good fit for Matt. And I trusted her and I dove in, and here we are 2.5 years later.
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
I love it. What, do you remember your initial goals when we started working together? We had 2 days a week for a half hour on Zoom.
Yeah. That was adorable. God, my initial goals, look better naked.
It's a fair goal.
Right? But, you know, it really quickly turned into, so I'm a therapist that specializes in working with couples, as you well know. But for the audience here, you know, clearly as a therapist, personal growth, personal development is really core to my identity. I had no idea that working with your body, working out, regularly coming up with new goals, pushing limits, was a really powerful avenue of self-work and self-discovery and learning really powerful things about yourself.
Yeah, man. It was It was a lot of fun in the beginning. I know that we had limited tools to work with, but one of the things like Kevin was really good about, he's like, what do I need to buy? Yeah. buy? Okay. I need a kettleball? Kettlebell. Kettleball? I'll get some kettleballs. No, kettlebell. And sure, you know, we sit here the next week. He's like, I got two new kettlebells. We can use them. I'm like, all right, let's use them. But do you remember when we first started training, you know what happened constantly is Quentin would come and just like pounce you in the middle of the training session. And you'd be like, pause for a second. That was always kind of a lot of fun.
Because he was like a 5-month old puppy at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just couldn't so get enough excited.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Every time we're like, go do bird dog. And then all of a sudden, Quentin will be like, ah! You know, which was really, really cool. We got a lot done in that house. What was your experience prior to training with me in training? Like, what things had you done? I remember you had done the cycling.
Oh, yeah. The AIDS life cycle. It's a big ride from San Francisco to LA to benefit HIV and AIDS. 545 miles in 6 days. So I had done that 4 times. And that was like the first big goal that I had. And I trained, you know, 8 months out of the year for that and took a few months off in between. Other than like going through different cycles and seasons of going to the gym every once in a while, not a lot.
Okay.
I was pretty green.
So you had proven to yourself, though, and I knew that your background was, I can do hard things when it's laid out for me and there's an end goal.
Totally.
And we had this, you know, general goal of like, hey, I just want to look better in my body. I want to take my shirt off and feel super comfortable at a pool and stuff like that. It has morphed over time and of late, like, can you share with the audience what your goals have been, you know, in the recent days? Because they've kind of shifted.
Yeah, know, totally. Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, my goal that we're working on right now is, you know, I just got a PR on my bench at 195, and we're getting 200 on the bench, and I'm feeling that weight, and I'm scared. I'm scared of it crashing down on me. And we're talking a lot about that mental block of it's just 5 more pounds, but I'm letting the bench down so slowly that I'm having a hard time driving it up. I think right now my primary goal is getting over that fear and getting that 5 more pounds. It kind of feels silly to like want to get 5 more pounds, but it's not in the context of, you know, tackling that fear.
Yeah.
And the other thing we're working on, you know, we've recently switched up our Tuesday half hour sessions, and we're working on my running.
How's that feeling?
You know, it's kind of like anytime you start something new, you know, it feels slow at the beginning, but I know it's a period of investment.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still in, it feels like I'm still kind of like, yeah, investing in planting seeds and trusting that they're going to bloom when we're like working on my form in a really intentional way. So as we continue to build, I'm not going to get injured and not going to be in pain as we continue to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I admire about you is your goals do evolve, right? And like based on like periods of your life, like they kind of grow with where you're at, you know, and there, we were at a very specific spot when we met. Pandemic, working via Zoom.
Yeah.
Then we were able to kind of add one day in person in my backyard, which was really nice because it was outdoor and it felt a little safe. And, you know, and now we're doing one day in the studio and one day in the lab. And like you said, really focused on bench. I want to go back to something like where, you know, it's weird, like, but I've seen it so many times. 195, boom, I lift it. I'm proud, boom, I add 5 pounds. It just feels soul crushing. Yeah. Where do you think that fear comes from? And is that something that you see outside of training as well? Like, I mean, you mentioned you're a therapist and a couples therapist, and it's like safe, no longer safe.
Right.
What the heck?
Right. Well, I mean, I think whether we're talking about like the feeling physically vulnerable with like the extra 5 pounds or feeling emotionally a bit vulnerable, you know, like we're both in these like really rad relationships at this point. And it's like, oh, wow. When you find someone that you're really engaged in the emotional work with and you can really build this baseline of safety and security, like, oh my goodness, a whole host of other things open up once you get safe, right? So the same principle, I think, kind of exists in lifting weights too. Like, you get up to this certain point, you feel safe, and then a whole new world opens up. You gotta figure out what that world looks like and what it feels like and build safety there. And I'm sure that once I hit the 200, there's gonna be another world after that. You know, I know that as, you know, as we're working on my running, at this point, we're working on a mile.
Yeah.
Right? I have no idea what it looks like to do what you did over the weekend, which is run the Windsor half. But I know that when I run my first 5K, it'll feel like this whole world has opened up.
Right.
It's like
the money. They say that the first million is the toughest, and then after that, it's pretty easy. Yeah. My experience with running is very similar, right? Because once you build the confidence to run a mile,
yeah,
it's like I can duplicate that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I just did it.
Yeah.
I have evidence now.
Yeah.
I can duplicate that. And then you duplicate that, and it starts to compound, and you're like, well, if I can do 2, I can do 4. If I can do 4, I can do 8.
Right.
You know, and I know... Not trying to go too big and scare you right now, but like today,
I'm stoked to get there.
You had 285 pounds on the bench press and you were holding it above you. Now, that strategy didn't pay off today. I think that might have been like a reversion of the fear.
You saw a look of fear on my face that you probably hadn't seen before.
No, you were terrified. And, you know, that's good because training, just like relationships, just like life, is there's some sound science, and then there's some intuition, and then there's some just, I got a feeling we got to go for it. Let's see. Okay, bad idea. Chalk right. That one up, put it away, you know.
But even if it's a bad idea, there's still value in me showing my clients, you showing your clients, you can do hard things. You're capable of far much more than what you think you are. Let's play with those edges and let's explore. Even if it feels scary, like, I knew you had me.
Yeah.
You know? And I think my clients know, like, I've got you.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just that whole body, that the body doesn't totally know yet.
Yeah.
It's the intellect. And I think that's what I love about training, and that's what I love about actually training. You know, we have these conversations all the time, like, my rational mind understands this, but like over here,
yeah,
I'm freaking out. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like, you know, I see this in as a trainer all the time. It's like, we know.
Yeah.
You know, hey, how should I eat to lose weight? You already know.
Right.
Just there's something right. blocking you from being able to do that. Whether it right. be, if I do that and it doesn't work, then I'm going to be so let down. Or if I do it that way and it, you know, does work, then I might have to sustain it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I can sustain it.
Right.
You know, and we put ourselves in all these little boxes and categories of things we can and can't do. You're running, like, your technique is great. I think there's some bodily responses when we're working on your running training that kind of says, like, dude, don't do this. You know what I mean? And, I didn't share this with you, but mile 4 of the Windsor half, I got this sharp shooting pain, went from my knee down to my ankle.
Oof.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's not a very good feeling. And then I reminded myself, that's not real. This is one of those phantom pains,
yeah.
right? That happens every time I'm like pushing myself to the limit. Like this is like my emotions getting in the way of my execution. And I'm like, it's not real. You're fine. But then it happened again, mile 5. And I was like, okay. Nope. I still think it's not real. And then I didn't feel it again. When I ran the marathon, My calf, mile two. So there is something about this like idea that I'm embarking on this physical performance thing right. that my body goes, no. And right. I've had to literally learn to like talk myself out of that and go, no, that's not real. And if it is something really, really real, you'll know it.
Right.
Like that didn't right. feel good, but you'll know.
Right. Well, here's another intersection of the work we do. You know, there is a very natural aversion to discomfort and pain, right? And we both know that there are really interesting, really powerful things on the other side of that. We both spend our days helping people get more comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right.
And with varying levels of success, find it ourselves.
No, totally get that. So tell me one thing about, since we've trained together, that like, what's one thing you're most proud of? Like, what's one accomplishment you've had that like, you know, you're like, I was really proud of that in that moment.
I mean, I remember hitting the two wheels, like, I think it was like 185 that day in your backyard before you moved to the lab. I mean, you know, you've got this thing. I don't know if other trainers do it too, where you don't tell me what's on the bar and I don't count what's on the bar.
Right.
And to have you tell me that I PR'd by like 15 pounds after I had already done it. Was one of the best feelings I've had in my training. And then, like, you immediately put me down and do 50 push-ups, break them up however you want to. So I PR'd and then I did 50 push-ups.
Yeah.
Right? And I just remember going home feeling just really deeply proud of myself and feeling really accomplished. I think that there are other small moments that you don't know about where I don't feel like working out that day. I don't really feel like it. I go through this whole process of like thinking about calling you or texting you and bailing, and I don't. And like, I have these small moments of like putting the car in park, taking the key out of the ignition, walking out and saying, hey, and still feeling proud of myself that even I just showed up.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm really glad you shared that because there's a misconception out there when, for a lot of individuals that watch people who train regularly and think that they must just love going to the gym.
Yeah.
It's even worse for someone like myself who works in a gym and it's like, oh, it's so easy for you to just train. And it's like, no, almost every day I got to battle the demons to get started. Hey, what is the feeling you get when you're done?
Yeah.
Hold on to that when you don't want to start the car.
Right.
Hold on to that. Remember that honoring the small commitments you make to yourself is the quickest way to build self-confidence. So going and keeping the commitment is a self-confidence builder, even if physically we didn't really get, you know, far, which was kind of how my walking coaching kind of bloomed, you know, as people would show up and I would look at them and I'd be like, yeah, today is not a day where we pick up weights. It's not very safe. Let's go for a walk, you know?
Yeah.
And which was really, really cool. But that was more like, hey, you showed up and we're not going to smash your nervous system with something that's going to be super taxing.
Right.
I remember a proud moment I had for you.
Oh.
I remember a day that I put you on the assault bike and I got this text.
I'm already laughing because I know exactly what you're talking about.
I made it home, threw up in my driveway, hate the bike, love you, thanks a lot, don't ever do that again, you know? I was like, man, it is never my goal to have someone throw up, but I'm so glad you didn't do it in the backyard, you know? And, oh man, I don't know. We haven't been on the bike since.
No. I mean, we've been on
that bike, but
and
not
the ski.
Yeah,
the ski's fun. But like, no, we haven't. Yeah, I remember sending you that text and being like, oh, I still feel like crap, and now I've got to go get the hose, you know? Because I just like opened up the car door. We were laughing for a little while we were on Zoom about how funny it would be if one day, like, you just worked me so hard that I like threw up right on the laptop.
Oh, that would have been classic.
We never got there, thank God. But no. It would have been, we would have gone viral.
No, but there was a couple of days where you had some fun on the weekends, and we had like a 7 a.m. Zoom, and you were like, I'm here.
Yup.
I'm here.
Yup.
I drank a lot of water before this, but like, and I'm like, okay, I got you, you know? So you've always been a really good, like, overall, you're a really good mover, you know, and that makes it a lot easier to change. If you look ahead, like, obviously we're working on the running, we're working on the bench. Our goal is to hit that 225, you know, we're stuck at 195 right now. That is typical. You see this, I see this in your progress, is newbie gains. They call them newbie gains, but like, you know, when a lift is new, you have to learn the lift and build confidence in the lift.
Right.
But also, like, when it's new, you start with light and you're PRing a lot.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of at this little plateau where we're having to introduce overload training and band training and chain training and
the future method.
Yeah, you know, future method bench and all these different little tactics to just get, you know, hone in the skill to hope to get the 5 pound PR, you know. But what, you know, what's a lift that still like eludes you that you want to build confidence in outside of the running and the benching that sometimes pops into your mind? Do you have one?
Oh, a lift. You know, we've been focusing on other things, other than, you know, deadlifting, getting back into deadlifting. That sounds really, you know, that's definitely a goal. We'll get there at some point. Yeah. You also train one of my good friends, Brian, and he's crushing it at the deadlift right now, but getting there. Other than that, the next big thing, you know, kind of in my life, the next big lift to do is I'm launching a rebrand of my practice and moving from, you know, my old practice, which was Thrive Therapeutics, to Courageous Couples Counseling. And just kind of like, it feels like a heavy lift right now. It's taking a lot of work. It's taking a lot of investment, taking a lot of focus and concentration. But I've got a lot of confidence that the investment will pay off.
Well, I want you to expand upon that. And before I have you expand upon that a little bit, because I want people to know, because Kevin is a phenomenal therapist and really good at what he does. You know, we were talking about just before this that balance is, you know, in my opinion, balance is bullshit. That like energetically, we only have so much energy. And right now you're in this rebrand and, you know, Courageous Couples Therapy and like, you know, that it's taking a lot of intention and effort and whatnot. And it's, I think that that's perfect because as a coach, I go, okay, hey, we work on the running, we work on the bench. He's got energy going elsewhere. We keep this momentum going. We don't introduce anything else new. He doesn't need additional stimulus. He doesn't need anything else to take away energy. And then when that is, you know, for no pun intended here, but when that part is starting to thrive and the rebrand is going and there's a, you know, a creation of new energy back into you because you're no longer launching, then it's like, okay, hey, what might we layer in? And this is normal for all training in life and seasons. And I think people are really hard on themselves. They're like, I just don't have it right now.
Right.
But you can't peak all year long. You can't peak all year long in business. You can't peak all year long in your relationship. Right. You can't peak all year long in your training. Right. Like there is going to be seasons of training. There has to be off seasons and on seasons. And I think if we start to understand that and give ourselves permission to say like right now, this is kind of a lower priority off season and this is a higher priority peak season.
Right.
Man, there would be some like good grace we could give ourselves and more gains. We could actually make more gains.
Right, right. Well, and I think that, you know, kind of what you're pointing to here is that sometimes taking kind of an off season, letting yourself kind of plateau for a little while and being in a maintenance stage without peaking is kind. When I think of someone who's like constantly trying to like reach these new peaks all the time, that doesn't sound very kind to me. And you know, my boyfriend and I right now, we're both talking about like, you know, getting a hold of our nutrition and dropping some LBs. And we're having these conversations about kind of like how we're going to do it. And we were laying in bed last night. And what I told him is it's so important to me to do it through the lens of kindness to my body. And that's complicated and nuanced because I think sometimes, not all the time, clearly, but sometimes letting myself have the damn cookie is going to be kind. And clearly, sometimes not letting myself have the cookie is kind. Yeah. And that's going to change based on the context that you're in.
Yeah.
So what it requires is slowing down and listening to ourselves while at the same time holding ourselves accountable, right? It's nuanced.
Yeah. No, it totally is. Like, the cookie thing, he brings up this concept I've been, you know, going back and forth on. I think I might have heard it from Brené Brown in a podcast or something, but it made sense to me. It's something that has always made sense to me. I just didn't have a name to describe it. And I like the way she said, I look for neutrality in things, meaning that I'm not running from it or pulled towards it. So when you think of something like a cookie, you know, someone that might have like some emotional eating, you know, like where I'm always pulled to the cookie, you know, and that's my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm gonna totally restrict and I'm gonna run from it.
Yeah.
This teeter-totter never really pans out because you're either binging or like on the verge of a binge. And like the idea of neutrality, like I'm there with ice cream now. I used to love ice cream, but now it's like I'm not pulled towards it, but I'm not pulled away from it. If I choose to have it, I can have it. And in context, it's okay.
Yeah.
And then there are other contexts I realize this is not the okay context. This is a dangerous context.
Right.
I want this. And this is an okay context, you know, and really learning. And I think that requires us to be honest with ourselves and vulnerable. Yeah. And it's obviously when you have social support, which I'm glad, like, you know, you and Spencer are in this together, because when you have social support, like the chance of, you know, I mean, succeeding is far greater. So before we go, like Courageous Couples Therapy, like what's the goal of your practice? What's your message that you really want people to understand? There's a lot of couples out there that I think, you know, proactively should have therapy. Yeah. And I think we do a lot of therapy reactively, unfortunately. So like when it's almost too late, but like, do you work with more like reactive? Do you like proactive? Do you like,
I mean, proactive whatever? Is clearly always going to be the better solution here. Right. There's still lots of tools and strategies that we can use when like it's reactive, but you know, it's going to take more investment of time and energy and intention. Right. You know, I think for me, the reason I'm primarily a couples therapist is because I think so many of our core wounds are relational in nature. So the healing, the fix, has to be relational in nature. So much of traditional individual therapy, there's so much value to it, but it's a lot of rehearsal, right? You kind of rehearse things, you process things, you figure things out with your individual therapist, like I do on Wednesdays at 5:00. But in couples therapy, you're doing the work right then and there, right? Like, it's so much more experiential. And I believe that our healing relationships is the best place for us to grow. I think learning how to love someone the way they want to be loved, hard. I would argue one of the hardest human tasks we have is learning how to truly allow ourselves to be deeply loved.
Okay.
That's what I love about the work.
Yeah. How early is too early to get into couples therapy in a relationship?
Oh, it's never too early.
So once a couple has decided we're gonna see if we can make this thing go,
totally,
it's perfectly acceptable to say, let's have some help.
Yeah. Along the I've had couples that have come in after like 3 or 4 months, you know. I just kind of know that this is my person, and we've got a lot of bullshit that we're both hanging on to from childhood or past relationships, and we really want to make this work. And I've had couples come into my practice after 25, 30 years of marriage. You know, they got married, you know, right around the time I was born.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think if you're asking yourself, does it have to be this hard? That's a good time to get into therapy, because the answer is no, it doesn't have to be this hard.
And I think, you know, I see this in training all the time. You know, people want an end goal.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I want to come. I want to work out for 6 months. I want to hit this certain weight. And then, like, you know what I mean? I'm there. And, like, it's an obstacle of mine to say, hey, we're talking about being healthy until you die. Like, right. You don't want to start, stop.
Right.
But with therapy and couples therapy, is there generally an end goal, or is it something that maybe it's immersive in the beginning and then backs off? Or sometimes, hey, we're doing pretty good, but maybe we just want to once a month check in.
Totally.
Like, what? How's that process?
I think it depends what the goals are. You know, I have seen my individual therapist. We were talking about this last week. He looked at the records, and it's been 9 years. Right? Are we working on particular mental health symptoms? Not so much anymore. It's about general self-exploration, right? So if a couple's coming in, or an individual is coming in with particular symptoms, we want to address those symptoms in an efficient manner, right? And I think for most goals of therapy, a good therapist should be working themselves out of a job, right? If the goal is self-exploration, or we are like continuing to learn and grow and develop and get deeper and deeper and deeper, is ingrained in the goal of our relationship, sure, I am here for that.
Yeah.
Right?
So many parallels between what we do, because the reality is, like, we can get to said point. You know, 225 on the bench, Kevin hits it, but it's like, okay, that was cool. Yeah. I obtained the goal. Now what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're a seeker. So you're going to want to continue to like have a new goal and hit a new goal, which, yeah, you know, extends things out indefinitely. And I would think, like, you know, that probably works the same in therapy as like, hey, we've gotten to this point where we're thriving, but we want to take it to the next level. And we want some, you know, while we do that, like, we're gonna open another business, and we're not sure how this business is gonna impact our relationship, so we want to keep you around to make sure, like, we have a neutral third party to like help us through this phase. I think it's pretty cool.
And you know, we've been working together for 2.5 years, and you know, there's parts of me that like feel like, you know, we're continuing to hit new strides. I'm continuing to feel more kind of like safe and contained in our professional relationship too. Even today with what you did, like, I saw you like loading up those weights, and you know, after 2.5 years, was I thinking like, hell no, I'm not going to do that? No, but I trust you. And I'm curious to figure out, what are the places that like we can go and I can go in my body when I can continue to invest that level of trust in you, my trainer?
Yeah.
Right? So, I'm just kind of like recognizing more of the parallels there.
Which is what I super appreciate, because it has to take, I mean, when you start a relationship over a video camera. And then you find, and you feel like you really know someone.
Yeah.
And then you see them in person, there's a whole nother level of getting to know someone, you know? And I think when we went to your birthday party, Hannah and I, that year, like, that was like another level of knowing you also, you know? Because it's like off script. Like, you had your guard down in a different way, because there is that there is still that guard or the insecurity or the I'm not sure or what the hell am I doing in this spot lifting this weight on the side of a deck with a tree coming down on me and a bee flying across my face. You know, like there is all of that. You know what I mean? And I just, man, I'm so grateful for what we've been able to do together. And I love to see that you're doing such great things with your practice. I'm super excited about the rebrand and how that comes out. And I'm just hoping more people start to really understand like the value that you can have in their life as a, you know, I mean, maybe some people are afraid of the word therapy, but really is it a coach, a safe place, you know, a trained professional to help, you know, catch you when you're scared, you know, and guide you. And, you know, an unbiased third party that's not going to just, you know, inflate the pain, you know. And unfortunately, friends mean well sometimes, but... You know, you're complaining to your friend and your friend's like, damn right, he sucks, you know, or damn right, she sucks. And or that's not always the best place to get, you know.
Yeah, I think if you're scared of getting into therapy, my first invitation would be to start talking about your curiosity or your fears about therapy with people in your life. Go find someone in your life that has had a good experience with therapy and ask them what it was like, right? And you could go and find people in your life that maybe haven't had a good experience with therapy and ask them what's that like. Get a well-rounded perspective. But, you know, therapy is gaining a lot more acceptance in our culture these days. You will likely be able to find someone in your life that has had a good experience and can give you, you know, kind of some perspective on what it might be like.
You're no longer necessarily considered a pariah because you're getting help on some area of your life that is, you know, tough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think in the past there was a connotation. Oh, you know what? I actually won't speak for anyone else, but I'll speak for myself when I had to go when I was 12.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a super positive experience. Yeah. But I think I also thought as a 12-year-old, like, what does it say about me at 12 to have to go speak to someone? Like, right. I feel like I'm an okay kid, you know what I mean? And then I was told to analyze my family, who I think are good people, you know, and like, I don't know that I have the wherewithal to take all that in and be okay with that. And, you know, maybe I did but I ran from it from the get go, like, and then I carried that for years until I was like, no, there's really good people that want to offer really good help. Yeah. And like, so they have a name called a therapist. I'm a really good person that wants to offer really good help, and I do it through fitness, but like I care deeply, and I'm sure there's someone out there that has training that cares deeply.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about you most. Like, you are definitely a trained professional who I also know cares deeply.
Yeah.
And that's like the number one important thing when I think of like, hey, I want to refer someone to a professional. So I want to thank you being vulnerable today on the podcast. Is there anything you want? I have a quick shooters here in a second, but is there anything you want to say that maybe we didn't cover today about what you're doing or your experience training or?
I mean, other than it also just expressing my gratitude, I mean, my entire relationship with my body has changed since seeing you, and it's not just the way that it looks in the mirror, which I enjoy, but you know, friends want to like go out for a hike or, you know, do something physical. I've got a lot more confidence. Something that I tell you about from time to time, I get the 5-gallon water jugs for my office at work, and you have to go up 2 flights of stairs, and now I'm to the point where I'm just like putting one under each arm and walking up the stairs, and I'm taking half the amount of trips, and I'm not getting all of that winded. And it's just so cool to see the difference in my body that you've kind of like walked me through. I mean, let alone just like absolutely loving our time together. So
it's been awesome, man. So quick hitters. Burrito or taco?
Ooh, taco.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Run or hike?
Hike.
Bike or swim?
Oh, bike.
Oh.
Oh, bike.
Oh, oh, bike. For sure.
Bike.
Cake or ice cream?
Cake.
If you had to pick one meal to eat for a month straight, what would you pick?
French toast.
Powdered sugar or none?
Like real maple syrup.
Okay. Okay. Favorite number?
11.
What reason?
You know, I've had some kind of like hippy dippy woo woo days in my past, and I used to like to see like 11:11 on the clock or something like, and like ascribe some kind of meaning to it. I don't know. I just got like 11 has just been a number that's kind of stuck around. I like it.
Astrology.
Oh.
Does it matter or not?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, it's fun to think about. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. The rational part of my brain has a hard time getting around the idea that, like, the planets have any influence over my life, but I am a Aries with a Cancer moon and a Leo rising, and it seems to fit me pretty damn well. So who knows?
Hey, well, Kevin, thank you so much for, you know, popping on here and sharing your story. Like I said, I absolutely am fully grateful of the training we've done, the time together that we get to share. You know, you've helped infuse confidence into my practice in ways you probably don't know. And, you know, I find that with like, you know, there's some relationships that just, you know, remind you that you are capable at what you do. And I think anyone in any profession that in moments is like, I know I'm good at this, but yet, like, it don't feel totally like it right now. Yeah. And I don't think I ever have a session that we come out of where I don't feel like something good happened or transpired and feel good about myself. So I'm
super. Well, you're not alone in it. There's not a single session that we haven't had that I haven't walked out of here feeling really good about myself and feeling really good about what happened too. So it's nice when those things line up.
It's freaking wonderful. Yeah. So, hey, go follow Kevin. I will put it in the show notes, but at Courageous Couples, like I said, Sonoma County needs more brave individuals that are willing to help others. And Kevin is one of those men, and, really look forward to what's next for us. But yeah. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, that's a wrap on another podcast episode. Thank you for joining me today. And thank you for listening all the way till the end. I really do appreciate and value each and every one of you. If you want to help me out, you could share the show by screenshotting and tagging me on Instagram at Coach Matthew Freeman, Coach M-A-T-H-E-W Freeman, or by leaving me a 5-star review, but only if it's 5 stars, right? I don't want any bad reviews. No, your authenticity means the world to me, so leave the review that's relevant to you. The last way you could help me is by sending me a DM of things that you want to hear in the future that we can learn together and grow together with, because that's really the point of this show. So before I leave you today, just remember, take one small action towards getting better, and you're well on your way. Thanks again, and have a wonderful day.